This morning's scripture reading is Luke 15, verses 1 through 10, and you can find that on page 909 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having lost 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek it diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God.
Okay, guys, let's have a quiz. Men, have you ever been lost? Raise your hand. Wives or significant females in the presence of these men, have they ever been lost? Raise your hand. I've never been lost. I've driven Mary Ruth to tears a number of times. I have news for you. Lost is a human condition. As I began to think about this particular passage, I realized that there are a multitude of ways that we can be lost. And sometimes, like those of us who are confident in our geographic abilities, we don't even know we're lost. I began to think about this lostness, and this gospel of Luke, this 15th chapter, it's unique to Luke's gospel. These stories aren't told anywhere else in the Bible. And yet they are significant because they do speak so very deeply to our human condition and our human needs. And they also speak so very significantly and magnificently of God's love and plan and God's kingdom that we seek. When I was thinking about being lost, I figured that there were some people who could be lost in the past, wishing that it would come back again. And there might be some people who are lost in a future vision, hoping to bring in some kind of great change that will bring everything to rights. Some of us are lost in confusion over what we believe and what we think. There's lots of ways to be lost. So many that after a while I kind of threw up my hands in frustration and said, "There's no way I can talk about all of them. There's no way I can cover it so that each person knows that they're lost. So I'm going to have to trust God that you already know how you're lost. That you already are aware of your tendencies that go away, move away from the flock, move away from God's kingdom." To point out that while there may be many ways to be lost, there's apparently a way to be found. And I began to think about this finding. In a simplistic world, we might say, there's only one way. The way is Jesus, and the way is the way I understand Jesus. And that's the way you have to go. The Christian in me knows perfectly well that there is one way to be found, and that's to be found in Jesus. But that doesn't give me license to go around to everybody else and grab them by the neck and say, have you been found by Jesus the way I've been found by Jesus? And when they hem and haw, I have no right to cast them aside either. This parable is about being found and about somebody looking for those who are lost. That's what the kingdom of God is like. That when we stray from what God has intended for us, that we are not cast out, but that we are missed. That somebody notices that we're not present and not accounted for. This is a story about being found, not a story about being lost. It's a story about someone showing up in our deepest need, wherever that might be. And I have no clue what most people's deepest need is. Their dimension of lostness. But I do know who's looking for you in that place. I do know that the kingdom of God is a place where every person matters and every soul is missed. And that every soul, every person is worth getting up a rescue party to go looking for. Folks, there are a lot of people who are lost. There are a lot of people that Jesus is looking for. And if you and I count ourselves as one of those whom Jesus is found, if you and I who can sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, I once was lost but now I'm found, if you and I sing that and believe that, then we're part of the rescue party. And that means some very particular things. Number one, it means that our passion as a congregation is for finding the lost wherever they might be and helping them be found. Found by us, and strangely enough, found by Christ working through us. This is not a mission of beating people up and coercing them into faith. This is a mission of living our daily lives, every one of us in each and every day, remembering that the people that we come into contact with are lost, are missed, and are worth rescuing. That doesn't mean that every one of them will be somebody that we are instrumental in helping to find Christ and to be found by Christ. But it does mean that we can exclude no one who comes to our attention and no one who appears to be lost to us and in need of a friend. It's not enough that the preacher would have a passion for the lost. It's not enough that our mission statement as a church might say we have a passion for the lost. Because none of that will change a thing until you have a passion for the lost. I was troubled when I read these stories in the Phillips translation of Luke's gospel. He doesn't use the church word repentance. He uses the word changed hearts. How many of you have had a change of heart? Most of us have. And probably have had several. But if we're going to be the church that can address the 21st century effectively with the good news of Jesus Christ, Him died, buried, risen again, coming again, then it's no longer sufficient for institutional representatives like the pastor and institutions like the church to say they care about the lost if you don't care about the lost. We are at a critical place in the life of the Christian faith, both in our world, in our nation, and in our neighborhood, and in our church. Our passion is that others would know Christ and be found by Christ. Our mission is to be the rescue party that finds lost souls and befriends them. It's my mission, it's your mission. And we need to ask the question each and every Sunday, where in this last week have I befriended the lost and let somebody know that Jesus was looking for them, or at least somebody was missing them, thinking of them, caring for them? And the day when the majority of us answer that question with at least one incident in each and every week, that we indeed did let somebody know that they were loved and cared for, this church will never be the same again. Oh, that doesn't mean that we're going to start looking like a bunch of crazy religious maniacs. But I can tell you right now, there's going to be some changed hearts. Evangelism, dirty word, church word, but it's still a word that we use is not just a few people's business. And it's not knocking on doors all the time. But some kind of evangelism is each and every one of our business. And until we make it our business, we are not likely to see the kind of church we know is possible, or have the kind of community faith that we would imagine we could be. The kingdom of God is about reaching out, finding those who are missing from the family circle, and returning them to a secure place where they can live and dwell in safety. It's not about our lostness. It's about our foundness and our being finders. We have a message that people need to hear, because they're not going to hear it anywhere else. For it is a message of love, of inclusion, of mercy, of kindness, of truth, of authenticity, and more than anything else, it's a story about changed hearts and resurrection. At the end of the sixth book of Harry Potter, Draco Malfoy has cornered Dumbledore, the great wizard, on the top of the tower. He's been charged by the evil Lord Voldemort to kill Dumbledore. And you can see him, as you read the story, envision him cracking under the pressure to do so. Dumbledore clearly sees the hesitancy that Draco is expressing, and seeks to help Draco step back from the abyss that he has so precariously and recklessly put himself on the edge of. And after the conversation goes on for a while, Draco yells at Dumbledore. He says, "What are you talking about? I have you at my mercy!" And Dumbledore says to Draco, "In this time, it's not your mercy that matters. It's my mercy that matters." The message we have is exactly the same. For as sinful humanity cast Jesus up onto that cross and said, "We have you at our mercy now. You're ours. You'll never bother us again." Jesus, nailed to that cross, stretched out, said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Folks, it's Jesus' mercy that matters. It's Jesus' love that matters. And if we aren't expressions of His love and mercy, then where are we standing? And what are we doing? It's not just another person's job. It is the Christian way of life to be seeking, finding, including, loving, inviting, and returning to the fold the lost children God has missed and desires to be returned. What are you going to do? What are you going to do Will you change your heart and adopt this as your passion? Will you fan into flame the spark within you that desires to come forth, to burn brightly and steadily like a coal well lit, fired up and filled with God's love and spirit, to bring good news to the poor and release to the captives and food to the hungry and sight to the blind and comfort to the prisoner and the sick, hope to the dying. You can do it. And of course you can't do it by yourself. You can only do it with God's help. But God said God would help. So let's do it. Let our passion be for the lost of this world. And let us be the rescue party, each and every one of us. Let us have a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ to a broken, hurting, lost world. Let us pray.